fans booed. They booed in New York City at the draft party or whatever, Madison Square Theater, whatever, Madison Square Garden Theater, where they used to hold the drafts for many, many years. Eagle fans booed. And he stayed the course. Played McNabb 12 games that year. He started 6. And then next thing you know, McNabb took off. Now, the numbers don't look impressive because of the era.
It's totally different.
But
yeah.
McNabb damn near threw for 40,000 yards.
He
threw for 234 touchdowns. And to groom McNabb and turn him into a pocket quarterback. And then later on, Michael Vick. And then you have Nick Foles. Then you have Kevin Cobb. He's won games with A.J. Feely and Ty Detmer. He's won a division title with Jeff Garcia. He had Alex Smith look the best he's ever looked in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. So Andy Reid, yeah, I do believe he could have got to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know if he could have. Like, they had some really good Chiefs teams with Alex Smith, and, you know, he didn't throw for a lot of touchdowns. You just look at the raw data, and I think the AFC was a little tougher than the year that the Niners got through to the Super Bowl, so things are different, whatever. I don't know, man. I look back on it, and maybe I'm just so hyper-focused on Jimmy post-Shanahan. I think that looking back on it, like, we don't give Shanahan enough credit for the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I'm not taking anything away from Jimmy. I thought Jimmy was solid, really solid. I never thought he was great. I thought he was solid. But I think that Shanahan's, some of his best work was with Jimmy. And I think that we've underrated how important, at least in this market, I don't think externally, but in this market, I feel like we've underrated how good Shanahan was.
Well, I think we underrate how good Shanahan is. Or was, or is. And Shanahan's a hell of a coach, which is why, you know, after that Cardinals game, we're taking calls about Shanahan needs to step away, and things are getting stale, and, you know, we need to move on. Maybe it's time to go in a new direction. I'm thinking to myself, what are we talking about? We're not one of the best coaches in the NFL. You ride this thing out. You ride it out with this talent. So does Shanahan get enough credit for that? No, he doesn't. He's never going to get the credit unless he wins the Super Bowl. Again, we're talking about a head coach who gets blamed for a Super Bowl loss when he is the offensive coordinator. So I guess, you know, when we talk about Andy Reid and who he is and what he's done, I do, when I think about Shanahan, why are people so dismissive of Kyle Shanahan? Why do we as a community or a fan base look at Shanahan, or even nationally? He's such a polarizing figure in the league.
Yeah.
Why? Because his dad was a coach and they feel like it's nepotism? Is it because the way he's snarky at times at the podium? I don't know. It's very strange to me how many people are out on Kyle Shanahan.
Well, it does feel like McVay's smiley, happy-go-lucky, outgoing, effervescent attitude buys him a lot of grace. Wouldn't you agree?
I guess, yeah.
You don't think so?
Yeah, probably does.
I think his personality is very infectious. I think people like McVay.
Yeah.
Like, and I just think Kyle, and then the dad thing, and I believe this to my core. Whatever the hell happened in Washington pissed off a ton of angry East Coast writers and people that are very influential, Mike Florio, and it just feels like they hold that against Kyle. Whatever their grievance was with Mike, they hold that against Kyle, and I don't know, man. I don't think it's fair.
No, it's not. It's not. So I'm getting a couple texts here.
Yeah, read them.
530, Kyle Kaspin's a sex line because Kyle's arrogance outweighs his talent and coaching ability. 510, Shanahan is better than what Sirianni and Antonio Pierce is doing. I agree with that. 415, because Kyle tries to act like he wants something that blows big games. He just acts like a head coach. And does he blow big games? They've lost some big games. There's no doubt about it. But we think back to the Rams, 17-7, when you're in the fourth quarter. Well, early in that game, Jimmy Garoppolo airmails the ball on to George Kittle. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? Players at some point got to execute.
Is Mike Tomlin not arrogant?
You got to have some arrogance at this profession.
He's a confident dude. And I'm not knocking Tomlin. I'm saying, like, when I see him at the podium, I'm like, yeah, that's a guy who believes in himself. And I mean that in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why we hold that against Kyle.
I don't know either. And maybe they held that against Andy Reid in Philadelphia for all those years. When Andy Reid was in Philly and, you know, they were getting NFC Championship games and losing and going to the Super Bowl and losing. But he has some really good teams in Philadelphia. When you look at his career now, he's got a chance to surpass Belichick. Belichick has 302 wins. Andy Reid has 263. And he's not slowing down anytime soon. And what Andy Reid does, I think he does better than what Belichick did, was he evolved with the game. He went from traditional West Coast offense, two back sets, to we're going to get into the spread game. We're going to get into the motion game. So we're going to hire Brad Childress back in Kansas City to be our spread game analyst. Think about that. He had the title spread game analyst, where all he did was study the spread game in college. How are they running the four wide receiver sets? How are they doing motions? Kansas City's one of the first teams in this league to run all the jet sweep stuff, all the multiple motions, the shovel passes, the quick screens, the flips, all that stuff. I mean, Andy Reid, you have to give him credit for evolving with the game and evolving with the times. A lot of coaches, you know, we always say the game passes them by, right? There's coaches we've seen many, many times where the game has passed them by. Andy Reid has actually evolved with the game. I think that's the most impressive thing. Now, it helps to have a great quarterback, helps to have a great tight end, but Andy Reid gets credit for grooming these guys and evolving with the times.
And he was a guy that I pegged as someone who threw the ball all around the yard, which I think was a fair criticism.
Yeah.
Last couple of years, he's really dedicated to the run.
No, they run.
Right?
They
run. You know, it feels like ever since adding Pacheco, they've kind of changed their mindset. And the other thing about them this year, I think of them as the most creative team in the red zone. Their red zone numbers are not good. They're like 30th in red zone touchdown efficiency, Kansas City, that not is. Good. So it's not like they don't have their own woes. Now, I would say that their argument would be like, well, we're more banged up than the Niners in the red zone. And so that kind of takes away some of the elements of what we want to do. We don't have our running back. We don't have Rashee Rice. And that makes things more difficult. Mm-hmm. But when I think, and I close my eyes, I think of the Chiefs, I think of them as a creative red zone team. And yet the numbers are telling you this year, that's not necessarily who they are this year.
They're led by the defense right now. I mean, when you lose Rashee Rice and you lose Isaiah Pacheco, and you don't have that continuity, and you're trying to work in a new right tackle, left tackle. Your tackles are a little green, a little raw. You're going to struggle at times, and it's early in the season. So they'll get that going. Their red zone against the 49ers in that first Super Bowl 54, all the formations and the old to the old days was very, very creative.
Where they motioned every,
they had the four backfield, they did the pirouette, and direct snap to the running back for first down.
What was the one where they broke the huddle from the ring around the rosy?
Oh, it was against the Raiders.
Oh, God. God, I hate them.
So they'll do something this week against the 49ers. They're going to do something coming off a bye week. They will do something against the 49ers. They will, but think about Andy Reid. Think about Andy Reid up until this point. And I want to get into this. We got, 1 minute? 1 minute? 2 minutes. All right, so I got time to play this. 2 minutes. And we talk about Andy Reid and how we thought about him before Super Bowl 54. Well, this play may change his trajectory in the history of the NFL. 3rd and 15 from Super Bowl 54.
Instead, it's 3rd and 15. Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open, caught, and they get it. Kansas City, the big play of 44 yards, pressure by Buckner.
Joey,
and Mahomes gets it downfield finally.
He gets the pressure down the field all the way on Jimmy Ward, and once you threaten him, he's one-on-one on the safety. Now you got to have time in the pocket in order to deliver that throw, and he got it. He hung in there. I think it was Bosa who was maybe coming off the edge to his left, but he had time. Line held up. Huge play on third down.
Now, the audio was edited because Troy Aikman, right after Joe Buck talked about the review where Tyreek Hill dropped it, and Troy Aikman comes out and says, Patrick Mahomes has not been good today. He's thrown a pick. He's been erratic. He has not been good today. And then the ball snaps, 3rd and 15 happens, and the Chiefs go on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I've got a bunch of plays here that's changed the course of history in sports, but think about that play and where the Chiefs were at that moment, 20-10, with under 7 minutes left in that football game. And that play, it saved the reputation of Andy Reid. It spearheaded a dynasty with the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, listen to the way we talk about Kyle Shanahan. It's changed everything. Let's get into it on the other side. We'll continue to roll on this. We've got Danny Hughes coming up at 8 o'clock. Natalie Nicasse, your new coach for the Golden State Valkyries. That's coming up at 8:30 on the River Islands guest line. Yay! Can't wait to talk to Coach. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I, Bonte Hill, will never lie to you ever again. You were right, I was wrong.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, good to see you out there in Vegas putting on a show at the T-Mobile Center, T-Mobile Arena, I should say, in Las Vegas. A beautiful, beautiful gym. Warriors beat the Lakers. They got a 5-0 in the preseason. Play the Lakers again at Chase Center. When is that game? When is that game? Is that Friday night or is that...
That is Lakers Warriors Friday night.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night. Chase Center, 7:30 p.m.
Tickets ain't cheap. People want to go see that one.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not cheap.
They want to see Bronny James.
Not last little warm up before the regular season. And then it's sold like Donkey Kong. All right. The most wanted tickets in the Bay, too, are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com.
Where is Job?
Now, we're talking Eddie Reed and Belichick, and you think about what spearheaded them, the dynasties, right? And there's always these signature plays. For Belichick, it was the tuck rule. Belichick and Brady, the tuck rule against the Raiders. And I know Raider fans, I feel you, because I was watching that game live, and I was like, wow, what a blitz by Charles Woodson. Greg Biekert on the recovery. What a play. Great call. I think the defensive coordinator was Bresnahan, Chuck Bresnahan, and he called a great slot corner blitz. Boom, game over. But nope, we got the tuck rule. Well, next thing you know, Belichick and Brady go on to have one of the greatest dynasties ever. Obviously, we know about the catch and Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and what happened on that play. But I even look back at Eric Wright horse collaring Drew Pearson to prevent him from scoring a touchdown. That spearheaded them. They go on to win the Super Bowl. They have a goal line saying the rest is history. They were the best team in the 80s. There's all these different plays, and I'll play a couple for everybody. But this 3rd and 15 play, love you. Let me know when you get the – you got it up? You got it? Here, 3rd and 15. I swear to God, we don't talk about it enough. This play drives me crazy because I remember the moment. We're all at the studio, and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, and I'm not going to lie. It was a little festive in that bad boy. It was 20-10. The room, the energy, it felt like the Niners had already won. It already won. Spinotti's sitting in the back. And this play happened, and it changed the history for the Kansas City Chiefs. It changed the way we talk about Shanahan. It changed the way we view Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's kept the Niners from hoisting hardware. Here it is, 3rd and 15, Super Bowl 54. I'm going to play this, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this, Shasky, and we can kind of go through some plays that's changed the history of their sport, games, whatever it is. But here's 3rd and 15, Aikman the Buck, Fox Sports.
During the break, they overturned the call. It's a successful challenge by Kyle Shanahan. Because of that, the ball on the ground, no clean catch. Tyreek Hill was wide open, and Patrick Mahomes just couldn't get it to him.
He's not played well, Joe. He's missed some open guys. He's had interceptions as a result of it, and that should have been his easiest completion of the night.
Instead, it's 3rd and 15. Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open, caught, and they get it. Kansas City, the big play. 44 yards, pressured by Buckner. Joey, and Mahomes gets it downfield finally.
He gets the pressure down the field all the way on Jimmy Ward, and once you threaten him, he's one-on-one on the safety. Now you got to have time in the pocket in order to deliver that throw, and he got it. He hung in there. I think it was Bosa who was maybe coming off the edge to his left, but he had time, line held up. Huge play on third down.
Shasky, February 2nd, 2020, Super Bowl 54. The play is called 2-3 Jet Chip Wasp. 2-3 Jet Chip Wasp is the play. And it's got its own Wikipedia page. It's got its own page on Wikipedia. And that play, as Aikman and Buck set it up, and it happens, and everything's been downhill, was downhill in that Super Bowl from that point. Signature play that changed the history of the Chiefs, the 49ers, and the way we view the NFL today, the Chiefs have won 3-4. 3-5, dude. 3-5.
I mean, he's putting together, you know, I'm talking about Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaching careers of all time since that moment.
Yep.
And he went from being, like, the biggest loser in the sport outside of Marv Levy to now people are saying, what if he would have had Mahomes a little earlier? Maybe we're looking at the greatest coach of all time. Wow. Now, I still believe it to be Belichick, and we can have another conversation later. But, yeah, the fallout from that is unreal. Like, do you get Travis Kelce being what he currently is? Honest to God, is he with Swifty right now? Like, who knows, right? Like, who knows? You know, I think about that all the time. That's one of those moments. And then how do you view the Niners? I think about this all the time. Kaepernick hits Michael Crabtree.
Mm.
They run in for a touchdown. What, however you want it to go down, they win that game. How different are the Niners?
Mm.
How different do we view all those players? Kaepernick, Harbaugh, Willis, Gore, Justin Smith. That's something that is like etched in my head, and I feel the same way about Shanahan and his team.
How about this play? January 20th, 1991.
Continues to tick off those precious seconds. First and 10. Green again. Hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball. Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball. That's the first turnover today.
That's Pat Summerall, John Madden, CBS Sports. What if Roger Craig doesn't fumble?
Well, what if Leonard Marshall doesn't hit Montana and Pepper Johnson and them boys try to destroy him? I had that card. It's a hologram card. Yeah. And as much as it pains me, seeing Roger Craig get stuffed and then fumble and Lawrence Taylor scoop it up was just all-time bad.
What about this? What about this play? What about this possession? What about this shot?
So the Spurs foul. Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket. Catches, puts up a three. Long go. Rebound, Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining. Spurs do not have a timeout. But the officials are going to review to see if Allen was behind the line.
Game six, Miami Heat, 2012. Ray Allen doesn't hit the shot. They don't go back-to-back. What happens with LeBron James? What's his finals record? What do the Heatles look like? So there's always these plays, and I would love to open it up to the audience at 888-957-9570. What is the one play you're convinced in the history of sports, whatever it is, baseball, football, soccer, if you got a play that you feel like changed the trajectory of a team, of a sport, of a league, like there's the drive with John Elway, the Cleveland Browns. What about the next year when I think it was Ernest Biner, was it given? Ernest Biner, I believe, when he fumbled at the goal line in Mile High Stadium. He's going in for the game with a touchdown. Maybe they go to the Super Bowl and Marty Schottenheimer is thought of differently. All of a sudden, Marty Schottenheimer is a winner, not a loser. What if this didn't happen in 04 at Fenway Park?
Pinch runner Dave Roberts is going to come in for Boston. He can run. Picked up from the Dodgers. Miller still waiting for his first pitch. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts. Safe.
Roberts had a great jump. It was a good ball for Posada to throw on. Good call.
It doesn't get talked about enough. Dave Roberts still in second, scoring a game-tying run. The Red Sox win a game, and they go on to win four straight games against the New York Yankees in the ALCS in 04.
I had that down on my list, and the Dave Roberts stolen base is one of those moments that just is etched in my head. When the Giants went in 2007, I went to Boston. It was the first time Giants, Red Sox, regular season, and that Friday night, Dave Roberts was in the lineup for the Giants, and it was just one of his final years, and the Red Sox gave him a standing ovation, the fans gave him a standing ovation. And that was the first time he had been back to Fenway since that season.
Mm.
Pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
Pretty crazy. And so to see them talk about that stolen base really cemented how important that moment was. Like, it's interesting that you bring up moments because there's other things, like there's transactions or injuries that happen that I was thinking about. Like, obviously, to me, one of the greatest ones, like just in anybody's top five, Babe Ruth trade.
Yeah.
Right. But that's a trade. And there was a lot that went into this.
Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors is obviously right there.
Bo Jackson getting hurt.
Wow.
Right? Like, Bo Jackson getting hurt is one of those, like, woulda, coulda, shoulda things for a variety of reasons, for a variety of teams. You know, do the Raiders win more playoff games and then maybe they stay in L.A. and never come back to Oakland? Does Bo stick with football? Or, you know, he missed multiple years in baseball. Right. Like, what does that do to his baseball career? You know, Bo, I know we look at Shohei as like one of the top athletes in sports right now. Right. Bo was that dude for guys our age.
Yeah, no doubt.
And paved the way for so many people. So no doubt. I think about the Bo Jackson injury all the time.
There's a lot of Jeter flip plays.
I've got that on my
Jeter
list.
Jeter flip play, obviously, it gets the A's. All-time play by Derek Jeter. Unbelievable. Also, I'm seeing here, the easy answer is the tuck rule. Simultaneously catapulted Brady's career and ended the Raiders championship window.
Can I throw one from college sports at you from our youth?
Please.
I often think about Chris Webber and the timeout.
Wow. Wow, such a good one.
And I know that people don't remember that. It is such a long time ago. But the Chris Webber timeout, people that hated the Fab Five, it was like the cementing of like, ha, losers. You know what I mean? People hated them. And like that hung around Webber.
His entire career.
Oh, my goodness. To this day. It was like, what were you thinking? And
that's
it was one
call.
Of those moments like, I can't stop thinking about the Webber timeout.
That's a hell of a pull. That's a hell of a pull right there. That's a great pull. How about this one?
Give it to me.
Third down and five. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
Oh, my God. This ball's thrown, and Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player. Harrison trying to knock it down. And Eli, man, I don't know how he got out of there. I thought he was on the ground, and then he came out of the pile and just slings it. That's a great catch by David Tyree. And now with 59 seconds left, the Giants needing a touchdown. The ball is at the New England 24.
Obviously, the Patriots were 18-0. 07, going for a perfect season. Dolphins, the only team in 72 to go perfect in the NFL, going 17-0. And the Patriots, that helmet catch changed everything for David Tyree, for Eli Manning, for Tom Coughlin, for that New York Giants organization. And for a while, we thought, boy, is Belichick and Brady going to ever win another one? Because remember, they lost to the Giants a few years later. And it felt like, maybe that's it for the Patriots. Maybe that's it, especially when they're down 10 against Seattle in the fourth quarter. But for a little period of time there, Randy Moss doesn't get a ring. Wes Welker doesn't get a ring. A lot of guys, that season, it was an all-time season, and yet the helmet catch changed everything.
I mean, that's probably considered the greatest football team ever if they win that game, right?
Yep.
There's like no doubt about it. Like Tom Coughlin and Eli are going to be Hall of Famers because of that moment. There's not a doubt about it. Let me give you one off the board that I was thinking about, like just like big picture in terms of the evolution of American female sports. What about Brandi Chastain?
Wow.
You know, and the PK goal winner and the way the whole thing went down. I think guys our age, we all remember where we were when that.
No doubt.
Her going like this,
ripping the jersey off.
Like, that's a moment I think about a lot.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That was huge for women's sports, huge for U.S. women's soccer. And those ladies on that team, to this day, are still appreciated. Wherever they go, they get standing ovations. 100%. They eat for free in the States.
100%.
Seriously, they've all done something. That entire roster.
I was listening to a Caitlin Clark interview where she referenced that about how she wasn't the biggest soccer fan growing up, but how like what that meant into all of the people that she knew playing soccer and whatnot. It was just an interesting conversation. And it's something that like didn't come to my forefront, but I was thinking like, man, you take that out. I don't know if American women's sports is where it is today.
How about this one? So I was just going down a rabbit hole all day yesterday. I was like, wow, these moments. Because we could pick apart plays, and I see a lot on the text line, so I appreciate the participation here. This is the one that doesn't get talked about enough. And the trickle-down effect from this pitch and this home run was pretty tragic. And I'll get to that after we play the clip. But we don't get the Bill Buckner moment if this doesn't happen in an ALCS.
Pinch runner Dave Roberts is going to come in for Boston.
Wrong one. Here it is. The wrong Dave.
To left field and deep and down. He goes back and it's gone. Unbelievable. You're looking at one for the ages here. And two strikes. Get out of there. In the bottom of the top of the ninth inning.
Your boy Al Michaels with a call of the ages. Dave Henderson. I pulled that part because I know Shasky loves Al Michaels. But Dave Henderson, down to his last strike. Red Sox down to their last strike. Down 3-1 in the ALCS in 86. And the Angels on the cusp of going to their first ever World Series. And Hindu hits one deep. The Red Sox tie the game. Actually, he took the lead. Angels ended up tying it in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Red Sox won that game in extras. But the Red Sox will go on to win three straight games, rallying from a 3-1 deficit because they went back to Fenway Park and just smoked them. But Henderson hitting that home run off of Donnie Moore. And we all know the Donnie Moore story, right? We know the Donnie Moore story? Well, Donnie Moore, oh my gosh, Donnie Moore was their closer. And he never quite recovered from that. And this is going to get a little dark here. But he ended up committing suicide in 1989. And he had some problems there. A lot of people kind of point to that play of saying that, boy, he was never the same after that. He was dealing with a shoulder injury or whatnot, but he ended up getting released. And his career ended. He had a 14-year career, but unfortunately in 1989, he shot his wife. His wife survived, Tanya, but he ended up committing suicide in front of one of his kids. And they point to that saying that Donnie Moore never got over the fact that he gave up that home run when the Angels were a strike away at going to the... It would have been Mets-Angels in the 86 World Series. Would have never got Bill Buckner. Would have never got Ray Knight jumping up and down. It would have been completely different had Henderson not hit that jack the left field. And the strut. I wish people could watch the strut by Hindu. The strut around the bases was all time.
You've got so many. You're dropping a lot that were on my list. Did you have... What if Vince Young doesn't score a touchdown against USC?
Wow.
Because that's a moment in my life that I think about. Like, what if Reggie Bush was on the field and Lendell White converts in that situation and USC goes on to winning that game? Is that the greatest football team of all time in college football?
They have an argument to be the greatest football team of all time.
Think about Vince Young's career. I mean, I know we forgot. He was awesome his rookie year.
Yeah, he was awesome. Didn't he win Rookie of the Year with the Titans?
I believe
he won,
he did
a lot of games. They were like... They ascended that season.
He was on cover of Madden.
He was so good. He was unstoppable. Another one I want to go your way, because you're a boxing fan.
Yeah.
What if Buster Douglas doesn't knock out 37-0 Mike Tyson?
Wow. Wow. Then you get Holyfield Tyson. Wow.
Right, I think about the woulda, coulda, shoulda of Tyson's life.
No doubt.
Forget his career, his life after that moment.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good call.
Can I give you one more before you go to one of your cuts? This is not sports. It was like life related. But what if Tiger never gets outed in the car crash after Thanksgiving? He didn't win a major for over a decade after that, and it felt like he was not the same as an individual. In the same way, Deshaun Watson is just not the same since all the accusations. It felt like that night in Thanksgiving, we all remember when Tiger crashed that car. He was the greatest golfer ever. He was unstoppable. He went forever without winning a big major.
Until the Masters, huh?
I think most people can't look at Tiger the same since that moment. There's like pre-crash Tiger, post-crash Tiger.
Yeah. And it just looked like he spiraled as a person for a while. I mean, didn't he dye his hair at one point blonde? And he just
lost teeth.
It just got a little weird.
Would you agree?
It got a little weird with Tiger, no doubt. No doubt.
How about the one that comes to me, like when I'm thinking long and hard, like the history of the sport? AFL, NFL, they end up playing each other in the Super Bowl. And I think about Joe Namath calling his shot and winning that game. Let's say they don't win that game. Does the NFL become the NFL the way it is now?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. The AFL needed that win. They needed that win bad. Bad, because they were mocked. The NFL were the good old boys, right? Can't get in our league. We're the best league, and blah, blah, blah. And then you think about the competition of signing players left and right, and all the money that was getting thrown around to get players, kind of like the USFL and the NFL later on in the 80s, where the USFL comes into play, and they're throwing money at Reggie White and Steve Young and Jim Kelly and Rick Neuheisel and Nate Newton and all these guys. And then, of course, we know who ruined that league. We don't need to get into that. But no, that Super Bowl was very important. It's a sticky point in NFL history. Here's a funny one for the Cockeyes business sex line. Gordon Bombay missing the penalty shot against the Hawks during the Pee Wee Hockey Championship. He scored 198 goals that season. Good. That's right. He changed the way they viewed him.
Joke artist. I mean, if you're going to go miss shots, I don't know how you view it. Like, there's so many woulda, coulda, shouldas. The behind-the-back pass from Curry. The Kyrie shot. I often think about, what if Iggy jammed that ball on LeBron and he doesn't get the block? Does KD come to the Warriors?
Probably not. Probably not. What if Kawhi misses the shot against the Sixers? And it rims out and the Sixers win it overtime? who's in the finals against the Golden State Warriors in 2019? Is it the Bucks? Is it the Philadelphia 76ers? Got one last one for you.
Yeah, give it to me.
And if you're a Sacramento King fan, you may want to turn off the radio. Because this shot right here changed some history.
It's a two-point Sacramento lead. We're down to 7 seconds. Bryant putting a move on Christie. Rebound O'Neal.
Defense on Kobe, and what rebound they got. Neither. The ball poked out there. Vlade is a good job. Nobody at the line. The shot, 3-point Jordan. Bedlam pandemonium has broken out here at Staples.
And there's no question, Steve, he got it off on time.
Now, I get it. There was a game 7, and that shot tied the series at 2-2. But the Lakers down 3-1 against that Sacramento team, I don't see them coming back to win that series. May 26, 2002. Horry hits that shot. Lakers go on the three-peat in that shadow of calling the timeout in the NCAA title game by Chris Webber. He wins the championship that year because whoever was winning the Western Conference is going to win the championship. They're going to smoke the Nets. Chris Webber's reputation is completely different. Sacramento has a champion. They have a champion.
That's the last three-peat in American sports. That Lakers squad. Can we see it again with the Chiefs this year, potentially?
It wasn't the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Nope.
Wow.
They went back-to-back.
I thought, for some reason in my mind, I thought they won 3 in a row.
So,
wow, that was the last. Jeez.
So you think about these plays that alter history, alter sports history.
They get forgotten.
They get forgotten. And that's why 3rd and 15 to me, when I think about it over and over, we know what happened in Las Vegas. We know what happened in the regular season at Levi's Stadium. We know what happened at Arrowhead when Jimmy Garoppolo tore his knee up late in the fourth quarter, tore his ACL trying to, you know, make a move back inside. But 3rd and 15 to Super Bowl 54, I'm convinced every single day, boy, if the Niners get a stop on that play. This whole thing is dead. We're having parades down Market Street. We think of Jimmy completely different. Jimmy's eating for free in the Bay Area. There's no slant. Like, we can say what Jimmy is and isn't, but they win that Super Bowl. Jimmy's a god here.
I mean, come on.
He's a god.
It's like Zito winning that World Series game. Everyone went crazy. And crazy. Even more so because he's the starting quarterback.
Barry Zito had a game and a half.
Well, he was good that postseason, but you're right.
It completely erased how bad the 7-year, $126 million contract was.
It was horrible. I'm going to make you pick your one moment that you're eradicating from your sports life. I'm making you pick one.
One moment that I want to eradicate from my sports life.
And you're altering the outcome for your teams, preferably.
Wow.
I know what it is for
I'm
me.
Going Kyle Williams fumble.
Wow, you took the one I was going to take.
I'm going Kyle Williams fumble.
I wanted that team to win a championship so bad.
In terms of favorite teams I've ever had, it's the 93 Giants. It's that 49er team.
Of course.
And it's the 2015-16 Warriors.
I was going to say maybe the Scott Spezio moment for that, because that Giants team meant a lot to me. Like the Scott Spezio home run in 2002. But that Kyle Williams, like, it wasn't just once. It happened multiple times. And that team was so good. And I'm convinced they were going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, no, I was convinced, too.
And those players meant so much.
Willis and Bowman. That's the moment Smith, for me. Yeah, Gore. And Alex Smith was going to get his redemption. And we think of Alex Smith differently had they won that Super Bowl, advanced to the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
But I love he it. Might it's, still be quarterbacking.
No, just we're thinking of moments that we could eradicate that one play.
I'm making you pick one.
Yeah, I was going to pick one. No, if we could eradicate one play, make sure that play never happened, how history changes, it got to be Klay Thompson, ACL, right?
Oh.
If he doesn't go, let's say he doesn't go up for that shot, let's say he stops, takes a jumper or something like that, like, how different is the Warriors? How different is Klay? How different is the show? Like, that's some reverberation.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, and not to, this is gonna come off a certain way, like. But I don't want to railroad Klay. But it's hard to not watch the current Warriors and not think like the timing was really right for them to move off of Klay Thompson because I'm seeing ball movement and there just seems to be a it's just different. Flow, and this is not a Klay slander thing.
No, let me get it here. I think it was the right time for both parties.
I agree.
And what the Warriors did was something that the Giants couldn't do, which is you got to make tough decisions. And the toughest decision you can make is letting go of a legacy player. a player who's an icon in his region with this fan base, with this team. And the Giants, they couldn't move off the Brandons. They couldn't move off the Posies. It was tough for them to move off of Bumgarner, for crying out loud. Took them to get a new GM to move off of Bumgarner. The Warriors made a tough decision, but I think it's the right decision to move off of Clay at the point that they did, because you need to reinvent yourself. You need to fix your financials. Now, we're going to all miss Clay Thompson. I know I'm going to miss Clay Thompson.
He's a legend.
And he's going to play well in Dallas. I'm not going to go freak out over 0-9 in the preseason when Kyrie and Luka's not playing. But it was the right time for both parties to bid adieu to everybody. Like, hey, bye-bye. We're done.
This is not some backhanded way of crushing Clay. It's just, it feels like there's a little more oxygen for others to kind of do their thing. And we're not chasing, you know, past play or frustration. And right. it feels like there's a lot of openness right now. And the vibes are really, and this is not just Clay. Right. There's other things that are deeper than this. But I feel like the turning of the page is appropriate. And to your point about like both parties need it, it feels right.
No, it feels right. But to defend Clay a little bit, post All-Star break, I thought Clay was fine. He was free. I mean, we had the post-game interview with him, and he was like, you know, Bonte, I've embraced the bench. I get to see how the game's flowing. It's actually easier for me. And he was fine. Like, the tail end of the season, he just played basketball. Now, the first few months, it was rough, right? But there's a lot of things going on with the Golden State Warriors. That's why it's hard for me to just, hey, Clay's gone. Let's do this. There's a lot going on. Chris Paul, we don't even talk about with San Antonio. You think Chris Paul was pleased with not starting or not getting big-time minutes in crunch time?
No.
He wasn't pleased.
No, but I just, to your point about timing, the timing was...
Timing was right.
It was right. And I'm watching the team now, and I don't know if they're going to be better or worse or whatever, but I don't think that you could make these moves, all the moves that they have, and kind of transition without... bidding adieu to him, and he's a great player. He's an all-time legend. His jersey will be in the rafters. Yep. We're so grateful and appreciative for everything he brought to the table. But again, as a guy who watches every minute of every game, it's hard to not watch them now and think, boy, they made the right decision, both parties.
No, I think it was the right decision in real time. I think both parties wanted to move on here. I mean, well, the Warriors had their deal in place, and it was emotional for them to watch Clay move. But in order to fix your books, in order now. With Clay gone and CP3 gone, and then I know a lot of people wanted a Lowry marketed, the Warriors are now in a position to where they can make a move for a big boy if that presents himself. They have fixed their books. You know what I'm saying? Their books are in order now for the first time. They're not going to be paying a lot of luxury tax money. So, you know what?
Give me names.
We'll see about the names. We'll see how this plays out.
Give me some names, Bonte.
There's always a disgruntled superstar. Always. We'll see who is disgruntled this season. We'll see.
Did you see who's already hurt?
Paul George. And that's a move I'm glad they didn't make.
I wanted to make it. I was prisoner of the moment.
I'm glad they didn't, after doing some research and talking to some people in the offseason about Paul George, that would have been a bad trade for the Warriors. That would have been a bad trade. Sometimes the best trade you make is a trade you don't make. And the Warriors are not gutting the future. Like Danny Ainge out in Utah. Sure, he was probably dangling Lowry marketing. Well, look at what you would have had to give up. The Kuminga, the Pajimskis, the Moody's. Maybe a wig. Like, and then you're going to have to pay him? Now, Lowry's a nice player. He is. But don't you like the way the roster's playing out right now? Aren't you at least intrigued?
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah. I feel good. I'm very excited for this Warrior season.
Well, I am too. It's something different. They start off in Portland at the Moda Center. It's going to be rocking up there.
The fight in Chauncey Billups?
Hey, man. It's a new time. New time.
The Moda Center? It's still the Moda Center?
Still the Moda Center.
All right.
Still the Moda Center. And they just blew out Sacramento in the preseason.
Uh-oh.
I had enough. I saw Deuce Samoa up there in Sacramento. Like, should we overreact to this game?
Imagine building all your content around the Kings. That's got to be tough.
Nah, they got a lot going on. Imagine building content around the Giants the last 5 years.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
Oh, man. I mean, the potential luring of Juan Soto, your boy.
Oh, gosh. We're not going to do that, are we?
Oh, the Chronicle's already put out a couple pieces on that.
Have they?
Why Posey is the right man to lure people like Juan Soto. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah,
Willard and Dibbs are getting their passports renewed because they're going to go to Juan Soto's hometown to do a show from there.
Really?
When does that crack come into play?
Where is his hometown?
Give us a second. I want to make sure we pronounce it correctly.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
Oh, ah, nice. Santo Domingo, yeah. Heard that place is cracking.
That's why you confirm it.
Yeah, let's go to Robert and Hayward. Robert, what's going on, man? What's our goodbye, Robert?
Hey, just chiming on alternating the history. Fantasy championship game, 1990. 49ers versus the New York Giants.
Yeah.
What if Roger Craig didn't fumble? Stevie on the first Super Bowl.
That is, because he would have played against the Buffalo Bills the next week in Tampa Bay.
Technically his third.
But as a starter. Now, I saw a couple on the text line, Comcast Business text line. What if Scott Norwood doesn't miss that kick?
Well, if you want to go Buffalo Bills on you, what if Thurman Thomas finds his helmet against Washington for the first drive?
But by that point, though, they were rattled.
Oh,
by that point,
sure.
They were like... And the Bills, the more Super Bowls they started going to, the worse it got.
I mean, imagine that, though. Your all-pro running back can't find his helmet.
That's tough.
I mean, come on.
But Scott Norwood missing that kick. Scott Norwood at the buzzer missing that kick.
Well, I often think about, you know, just the NFC West, right? And you know, obviously, everyone, the Pete Carroll play at the goal line and all that. What if Jimmy never got hurt and we never got a chance to see Brock that first year? Where would the Niners be today? Wow,
that's a great question.
Like, what if Jimmy never gets his foot stepped on and collapsed, and he never breaks his foot, and we don't see Brock that year?
Do they
go after Tom Brady harder? Do they try to swing a trade for Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if we're here with Brock today if Jimmy doesn't get hurt.
Sam Darnold might be the quarterback.
I have no idea.
What happens with Trey Lance?
I think Trey was on his way out the door.
Yeah, lot of fun text here in the Comcast Business text line.
This is the ghost of Trey Lance.
What if D4 wasn't offsides against New England that year? Skills and Vallejo.
D4 does look good.
There's a lot of plays, man. There's
the
a lot
of people just come up to me and go, D4 looks good.
Do they?
They do it all the time.
Hey, D4 did look good.
That's
that
like
first Vontae. Couple weeks.
I'm buying Andrew Wiggins stock.
I am. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
I need it in the sports whisperer voice. Like you're trying to like keep the secrets from getting psst, that.
Psst, psst, psst,
yeah.
Psst. Hey, Chasky.
What's up?
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins this season.
Really?
A lot of stock. I'm all in.
Is this insider trading?
I'm all in on the Andrew Wiggins experience.
Now, what am I supposed to do with that information?
Just sit back and watch.
It was nice to see Wiggins play yesterday.
He's playing hard yesterday, defensively.
I'd like him to hit a bucket, you know?
Yeah, you know, you got to like that. Yeah. You got to like that.
He was jacking up threes, at least like him, Kuminga early. I was like, whoa, yeah, we got green lights.
Well, Steve Kerr said it. I want him shooting 5 to 7 threes a game. Let it fly Warriors are here, baby. But the Kansas City Chiefs are also here, and they're visiting Levi's Stadium on Sunday. And we're going to talk to Danan Hughes at 8 o'clock. He's a color commentator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Played with the Chiefs from 93 to 98.
Ooh.
He was an Iowa Hawkeye. So that means, he may have played in that Rose Bowl against Washington.
Well, did you hear what his claim to fame is?
His first ever catch was a pass thrown by Joe Montana.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm also buying stock in Moses Moody. I've already got stock in Moses Moody. Plenty of stock.
He's a rotation player.
Kind of like Bitcoin. It's going to skyrocket.
Don't bring up Bitcoin.
Bitcoin did skyrocket. A lot of people got paid off of that, man. I missed the boat.
He's full of baloney.
I'm not full of baloney, man.
So I want to make sure I'm clear here. Kuminga stock, Wiggins. I want to keep record of this. Kuminga stock, Wiggins stock, and Moody stock. Whose stock are you not buying?
Well, I'm going to buy Looney stock as well.
Okay, Looney.
Yeah, I'm buying that stock.
Okay. Anyone else?
As of now, no, not yet. Oh, Britta Pajewski. I've got stock in Britta Pajewski. So I love
you
some BP.
So you like every Warrior.
Yeah, basically.
Just to keep score here. Pods.
I'm not going
to
buy stock on Quentin Post yet because he's probably going to get in the G League, but it's early. It's early.
The amount of Quentin Post tweets I had thrown at me, he can't be any worse than what we have.
No, dude, Quentin Post, give him time. Give him time. Just relax. Just relax.
So Kuminga, Pods, Looney, Wiggins. Who else?
Pods.
Moody. All right,
Moody,
these are
Moody.
Let's keep track of stocks and let's see if they're up or down every week. We'll do a Jim Cramer segment.
I got a lot of stock in the Golden State Warriors. Love my Warriors.
Did you see my Sharks last night?
Yeah, they lost.
Tololi had a goal. Yeah. It was tied 2-2 after two.
Yeah, they lost.
Gunner.
My boy Ted Ramey was on the NBC Sports California.
I saw
looking
intermission.
Good. Gunner. Shout out to Ted Ramey.
Yeah.
Looking good that suit.
I mean, that's just a great hockey play. He said that 3 or 4 times. I was like, bro, I need more lingo to be able to utilize on the roast.
Hey. You don't want to be a critical of us in our lingo here.
I've never seen Ted Ramey and Stanford Steve in the same building. They might be the same person.
They might be. They might be. I saw Stanford Steve. Where was he at? Where the hell did I see Stanford Steve? He feels himself hard. Stanford Steve.
Yeah, it's like, bro, you're a role player.
Hey, he plays his role very well.
For sure.
Credit to him.
Yeah, but you're not a main character.
Hey, that's fine.
Hey, we all need an Andy Richter to a Conan O'Brien, right?
Good call.
Hey, but you know what? That bank account screams main character. That bank account screams, I'll be poor. Some people are saying buy stock in the slow-mo.
Guys, the whole point
too much for me.
Of buying stock, like that is in this little metaphor we're using, is that it's got to be underrated or depreciated, or it's got to be one or two. You can't buy stock in the whole team.
No, I know. I bought stock in 5 players.
6 if I'm adding slow-mo.
I didn't add slow-mo.
Okay, what about Draymond?
I've been had stock in the head. That stock is, we cashed out on that stock, man. We got 4 championships and DPOY, all defensive teams, all-star games.
The amount of ups and downs in that stock over the years.
Hey, my God. Hey,
but the stock is
so many
money.
Peaks and valleys.
Hey, but that stock is winning your money. Winning a lot of people money. You got a lot of people paid. Steph Curry stock. It was down at one point.
It's the only stock that will call you out.
Hell, what if this didn't happen?
With the 5th pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Ricky Rubio of El Masnou, Spain, and Juventud Badalona. With the 6th pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from Syracuse University.
Yeah, what if that doesn't happen? Would this station even exist? Would it be blue and yellow with the logo of the Warriors and Draymond jerseys behind us and Curry jerseys?
I mean, when I hear that voice of David Stern, too, he's. I'll go back to this. If this never happened or if this did happen, that could have changed the history of the NBA, too. What if he never nixes the Chris Paul to the Lakers deal?
Ooh.
Kobe would have had Chris Paul in his prime. No, I am still salty about that. It was a good trade for both teams, but they didn't have an owner at the time. Mark Cuban, that was a Mark Cuban special, by the way.
No,
he did not want that happening.
No, nobody wanted that to happen.
Thought you were going to go frozen envelope on me.
Well, I was going to go that, or I was going to go John Elway, who should have been a Raider, and they nixed that deal because the league hated Al Davis, too.
That 30 for 30 was fascinating.
Boy, the Raider grievances. We might need to open that cabinet up one day and go through the files.
They were supposed to get John Elway.
Yeah,
I know. They really were. He had the great deal done. The deal was done. Pete Rozelle runs up to the podium. Oh, Bears pick. Clock's run out. Bears got to make a pick.
If the Raiders are having an estate sale, there's a lot of people that are going to try to poach Max Crosby.
Well, Mark Davis came out and said that he's not getting traded.
I mean, come on. Come on. Mark Davis.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I'll believe it when Brady says it.
Brady's going to say it. Shador Sanders, step right up. You're a Raider.
That doesn't feel like Brady's kind of quarterback.
707, the stock Dre is volatile. Sometimes it's unavailable due to SEC regulations. Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. What if Chris Webber played with Tim Hardaway, with Spree and Mullen?
Yeah,
you think about that all the time. There's a lot of what ifs that altered the history. We'll talk to Dana Hughes coming up, and then we'll get into Andy Reid, Belichick, and the Chiefs, and the coaching trees, and all that stuff. It is Chiefs Niners week, a Super Bowl rematch. Jordan Mason was at practice earlier this week wearing a blue non-contact jersey. Non-contact jersey. Mason had to leave last Thursday's game in the second half with a sprained AC joint in his right shoulder. All indications are that he is moving well and trending towards playing on Sunday versus Kansas City. Right now, he is officially listed as questionable. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Again, Dana Hughes, color commentator for Kansas City Chiefs, is coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's dive into the Chiefs. What did they do well? What do they need to improve on? What does this game mean to the Kansas City Chief fan? That's coming up here on The Rust.